Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, we will count down. 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Welcome to Health and Wellness. My name is Joe Tata. I am a doctor of physical therapy and founder of Premier Physical Therapy and Wellness, one of the largest outpatient physical therapy providers in the New York tri-state area. My mission is to help over 20 million people improve their health by the year 2020. And one of the ways I do that is to bring you top health experts and people I admire for their knowledge and experience in helping others heal. Today we're going to do a deep dive, and we're going to focus in on calcium, bones, and osteoporosis. And I have a great guest and expert. Her name is Dr. Kim Millman. She is a Stanford-trained medical doctor, board-certified in internal medicine with a PhD in infectious disease and epidemiology. She is internationally acclaimed for her medical research in the fields of population genetics as well as infectious disease. She has over 20 years of functional medicine training and has a thriving holistic practice in the San Francisco Bay Area. She believes in using whole foods and lifestyle changes to reverse chronic conditions, and she's an expert in natural medicine, mineral metabolism, and osteoporosis. To learn more about her, you can visit her online at millmanclinic.com. But without further ado, welcome Dr. Kim Millman to the show today.
Well, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's great. You know, I'm really excited. I think there's a great marriage of learning more about, you know, calcium and bones along with physical therapy. One of the things that we see as a physical therapist quite often are fractures. We obviously see hip fractures in women who are elderly and who have falls. We see wrist fractures, and we obviously see stress fractures in younger women who are athletes. We know that upwards of 75% of Americans are calcium deficient. So yeah, I know you're the calcium and bones expert, and you've done a lot of research in this area. So I guess my first question is, if so many of us are deficient in calcium, what are the symptoms someone would see in their body that would signify a calcium deficiency?
I think most people are pretty aware of calcium deficiencies causing bone disease, and in fact, that's really the definition, is a decrease in bone mineral density, and calcium being one of the predominant minerals that are deficient. But there are three major categories that I think that people really don't understand are related to calcium, and I have some amazing results in my private practice just using a little bit of calcium in these three areas. They are mood, they are immune, and the immune system, and then muscle. So on the mood side, people can get anxious, nervous, feeling hyper, even having panic attacks and performance anxiety can be calcium related. I had a patient who had full-on bipolar disease, and she was on a fair number of really heavy-duty antipsychotics. And she started working with me, and I started doing a little bit of calcium therapy, and she had a miraculous result where she just felt this really sense of calm that she didn't have in the past. And we were able to reduce her medications to none, and to this day she just completely swears by calcium, takes it every single day. I can be a little bit anxious and nervous, and calcium is just amazing. And then just crampiness of muscles, muscles being heart, being legs. One of the most amazing things that I do in my practice is for women who have uterine cramps, I give them calcium. And especially those women who the cramps are off the charts and nobody can figure out why they have these incredible cramps, I give them calcium and their cramps come back to a manageable amount. So that's just a huge tip for people. And then the immune system, I don't think that people understand that the immune system really needs so much calcium, but it does. And in fact, I can break fevers with calcium. I just had a patient the other day. Her young child had 104-degree fever, and she was using cold compresses and giving the child cold baths and just couldn't break the child's fever. And then I told her about calcium, and she did some calcium lactate therapy with her young child, and the fever broke right away. And it's interesting because I actually think, this is kind of just from my own supposition about what's happening, but I think that the body's fever response is trying to mobilize calcium out of the bone because the immune system needs so much calcium. But then when you give the immune system the calcium that it needs, it breaks the fever, and it also helps you to decrease your duration of infection and decrease the severity because the immune system has that vital nutrient that it needs. So those are my calcium deficiency symptoms are bone disease, mood, muscles, and immune system. Those are my major calcium deficiency symptoms. And I don't think that people really know those last three.
No, definitely not. I mean, that's new information to me, and I think it's really great and useful for people to have. You know, when patients come in to see a physical therapist, obviously they're coming in for, you know, mostly for kind of therapeutic exercise. They want to learn what is the correct exercise to do to kind of help their bones. And, of course, that is strength training, and weight-bearing exercise. And I just want to kind of preference for everyone that walking in and of itself, I know it's been studied a lot, but walking as far as bone mineral density has really been studied kind of in a much older population in nursing homes. That's when walking helps you. To get the calcium retention in your bones, you really need to do kind of strength training and you know, weight bearing. But after exercise, of course, food is, you know, one of the most important sources of calcium. So what food should someone eat for increased calcium?
Well, dairy is probably, you know, your biggest source. A cup of milk has 300 milligrams of calcium. Cheese can have, cheddar cheese, 2 ounces has 400 milligrams of calcium. But then if a person is actually dairy sensitive, there are a couple of options. Almond milk has 451 milligrams in a cup, so it's heavily calcium laden. Chia seeds, they have 180 milligrams in an ounce. Soy milk has 300 milligrams in a cup. You know, one of my favorite things for bones is natto. Now, natto is great because in a half a cup of natto, and I'll tell you what, that it's actually a fermented type of soy that the Japanese can get them in Japanese grocery stores. In a half a cup of natto, there's 190 milligrams of calcium, but there's a huge amount of magnesium and potassium, which I think are just as important, and also vitamin K. And I could talk about vitamin K all day long, but I think that vitamin K is the most important mineral for the bones. So I think by far natto is the best food for bones. But then you get into the grains and you really kind of dip down. Amaranth actually has about 100 milligrams, and buckwheat has 50. Then if you get into the vegetables, I really want to talk about like spinach has 245 milligrams of calcium in one cup of spinach. But the problem is that spinach has a compound called oxalates in it. It's a high oxalate food. And oxalates bind calcium. So it makes then that calcium bio-unavailable. And in fact, for spinach, the absorption fraction is only 5%. So you're getting 12.5 milligrams of spinach in a cup. Now let's like conversely look at a low oxalate food like kale, and in a cup, you only get 100 milligrams of calcium in kale compared to 245, but the absorption fraction is 58.8%. So you're absorbing 58.8 milligrams of calcium in kale compared to 12.5 milligrams in spinach. So you really want to look at your oxalate values in vegetables. So this is a big tip. Don't try to get your calcium from spinach. I mean, and don't eat spinach at the same time as you're taking your calcium supplements. So
that's great.
That's a big tip. Yeah, no, seriously.
So you gave us some foods that, contain calcium, obviously. You gave us, spinach, you're saying, to, be cautious of or avoid. What about phytates, which are found in things like legumes? Is that concerning as far as blocking the calcium absorption?
Well, it definitely does, and you see that in the grains. The grains have a lot of phytates in them. Phytates is really just fiber, and it will block calcium absorption. I don't want people to get too crazy about phytates because they're very important. Fiber is very important to our physiology, but we don't want to avoid things with phytate. But I wouldn't get you're not going to get your calcium from a phytate laden food. And if you have like cereal and milk, the phytates in the cereal will decrease the absorption from the milk. So, but I think that people shouldn't get too crazy about phytates, but you shouldn't think that you're going to get a lot of calcium from those foods.
Okay, great. So I want to shift gears just a minute to kind of the daily allowance, because people pick up packages and they look on the back of them and they're trying to see, well, how much calcium is, this particular food giving me? What are your thoughts on the RDA, and what do women need to know about it?
Yeah, actually, I've done a fair amount of research on the RDA and the requirements for calcium, because I actually don't believe that the RDA is the best system for assessing our needs. And the reason why is because it's population-based and it's not individual. It's not need-based. And I'll tell you why. Because the RDA was meant to find out the maximum amount of calcium that a person could take that would still be useful and would still be retained in the body without being lost. That's very different than what that person actually needs. And what they did was they looked at something called calcium balance. And it's really simple. It's basically your calcium that comes in minus the calcium that's lost. So you're looking at the absorption of your calcium, how much you absorb and how much you actually get in your body, and then how much calcium you're losing from your stool and your urine and your sweat. So they had these very elaborate calcium balance studies where they had people actually in hospitals and they were measuring the calcium. And what they found was that the absorption and the losses of calcium are age-dependent. So, for an example, an adolescent during their growth spurt and their calcium balance, how much they retain is about 170 milligrams per day. So they're taking in 170 milligrams more than they're losing. And so when a person is an adolescent, their absorption fraction is really high and their losses are really low. Now, over time, this changes. So as we age, a woman or a man in their 30s, where their calcium metabolism is starting to fall off, their calcium balance is a positive 10 milligrams, and because their absorption is less and their losses are higher. And then if you look at a postmenopausal woman, she's actually at a negative calcium balance. She's losing about 10 milligrams per day because her absorption has fallen off and her losses are more. And I think that our bodies are adapted to, because we don't need to grow at that point. But that doesn't mean that we don't need to build bone. And so the RDA is based on it's designed for a population and not for an individual. And I believe, actually, that the RDA for calcium is too high for some people. Because I believe that, like, for example, the RDA for a 50-year-old woman is 1,200 milligrams, whether she has bone disease or not. And so I think that there's a better system than the RDA.
So can you talk about that a little bit? I mean, how much calcium does the average woman need, I guess? Because it's, I mean, as a physician and a PhD researcher, you're saying that the RDA is actually a little too high for people.
I think it's too high for some people. Yeah. So let's talk about how much does a healthy woman need? So if that woman has no calcium deficiency symptoms and she has no bone disease, really what she needs is to just maintain. And so there was a study that was done by Hunt and Johnson from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and those are the people who actually developed the RDA. They found that for a neutral calcium balance, people needed 741 milligrams of calcium per day. And so that's basically your in minus your out is zero, and you're not leaching calcium from your bones. That's what you need is 741. But I believe that for a person who has calcium deficiency symptoms, they need a positive calcium balance. So they need, from my research, they need about a positive 10 milligrams per day calcium balance, which means they need about 791 milligrams per day. Now, let's just look at the 50-year-old population. The RDA is 1,200. Okay, so I'm saying if they don't have calcium balance, if they don't have calcium deficiency symptoms, they don't have bone disease, they need neutral, which is 741, and the RDA is telling them to take 500 milligrams more than I believe they need. Now, if for a person with calcium deficiency symptoms, they need 791 to have a positive 10 milligram calcium balance. And that means that that RDA is telling them to take 450 milligrams more than they need. Now, a person with osteopenia, they need to have a 25 to 50 milligram positive calcium balance, which means they need 870 milligrams per day. That's 330 milligrams less than the RDA. And then a person with osteoporosis needs a calcium balance of 75 to 1,000, which is about the RDA at about 1,200. So you can see how I believe that in the population, the data was skewed towards the people with bone disease. And they will remember how the RDA was driven was by finding the maximum amount of calcium that people need. That the maximum amount of calcium that the body will retain. So, you know, I feel like taking more than you need, let's just break this down into two categories. You take more than you need and you take the right kind of calcium, I believe you're wasting your money and you're throwing, you know, you're losing that calcium, throwing money away, and you could actually be throwing other minerals and vitamins out of balance because it's a system, you know, calcium needs other nutrients, and so if you take more than you need and you take the wrong kind of calcium, I believe it's dangerous.
So let's talk about some of those dangers because I know people who take calcium, let's say, prophylactically because they just don't want to have osteoporosis or osteopenia 10, 20, 30 years down the line, but they could be harming themselves if they're taking too much. So what's the one biggest, detrimental thing they could be doing to themselves by taking too much calcium? Because you're saying probably 750 is around the magic number, but the RDA is, you know, well over that.
If there's no bone disease, because I'm saying that it's individual and it really is related to your needs, but if someone is in her 20s, has no calcium deficiency symptoms, and has no bone disease, 750 is the magic number. So there was this landmark study. So I'm really going to be talking about calcium supplements and heart attacks. So back in there is a landmark study that I'm going to talk about in 2012, and this was a German study, and it was from the publication Heart. And what they found is they looked at people who they calculated how much people were getting, how much calcium people were getting from their food, and then how much calcium they were taking from their supplements, and then whether they were taking just calcium or whether they were taking other supplements. And then they were looking at the rate of heart attack in these three groups. And I think this is like really fascinating data. And what they found is that if you had a high amount of calcium in your food, you had a decreased risk of a heart attack by 30%. So, I mean, that's actually pretty profound. You know, I mean, if we can reduce heart disease by 30% by making sure people have calcium in their food, it seems to me like calcium is inherently good for the heart. That's my take on it. Now, when they looked at users of calcium supplements where they were taking only calcium supplements and not any other supplements, the risk of a heart attack was increased by 139%. Now they looked at people who were taking calcium supplements, but they were taking other supplements as well, maybe a multivitamin. And that risk was higher, but it wasn't as high as people who were just taking calcium by itself. So the risk of heart attack in that population was increased by 86%.
Okay, and that increases people who are taking single supplement calcium, basically.
Yeah, single supplement calcium is increased by 139%. People who are taking calcium with other things increased by 86%. People who are getting a lot of calcium from their food decreased risk by 30%. So this says two things to me. Yes?
So let me jump to this, because when I walk down the streets of New York, there's a CVS and a Duane Reade at almost on every corner. And when you walk in to the aisle where the vitamins are, I would say calcium is probably the one that's displayed the most. So as a consumer, as someone who goes to these kind of stores and you're looking for supplements, what are the things to be aware of when choosing a calcium supplement?
Yeah, see, I really think this is vitally important because what I believe happened in these studies is that the largest signal of calcium was calcium carbonate. It's the cheapest source. It's the most common source. That's what doctors across the country will tell you to take. I even went to an osteoporosis conference at UCSF where they said, no difference in calcium. Take calcium carbonate. It's the cheapest. You'll get the most response from it. But the data says opposite. Right? The data says that food has a full spectrum of other minerals and vitamins that you need, and then the calcium's in a whole food form. So what you want to do is you want to take calcium that's closest to whole food. So let's look at a couple of the different types of calcium. Calcium carbonate comes from limestone, chalk, oyster shells. And if you think about what does limestone do when you put it in a glass of water, it just sinks to the bottom. And the reason why it sinks to the bottom is it has what's called its solubility is low. So that means it doesn't dissolve. And what do you think that's going to do in your body? It's not going to change its characteristics because we've absorbed it. It's still going to sink. So when it's in the blood system, it's going to sink. It's going to potentially cause plaque, which can cause plaque in your arteries, which can cause heart attacks. It can cause hardening around your joints, right? And because osteoarthritis is a lot of calcium deposits around your joints. It can cause calcified gallstones, and it can cause kidney stones. So this is, you know, I don't believe that anyone should be taking calcium carbonate. And so then if you look at a source that's more whole food and it's closer to something that you're going to get as a dietary source, you want to be taking something called a chelated form of calcium. So chelated forms are basically the calcium molecule is complex to an amino acid, which is a part of the protein. And then its solubility really goes up. And so it's going to stay in solution, and it's not going to drop out of solution, and it's going to work the best. So I have a couple of solubility numbers for you I wanted to tell you about. Solubility of calcium carbonate is 0.1. And then calcium citrate. Now, calcium citrate is another big form of calcium on the market, and I think it's kind of in the medium ground. I think it's okay. It's not the best, but I think it's okay. So if you go to CVS, pick calcium citrate over calcium carbonate any day. Solubility of calcium citrate is 7.3. So that is, you know, almost, you know, 70 times the solubility of calcium carbonate. But the very best is a chelated form of calcium, calcium citrate malate. So you have the malate on the other side. You have citrate on one side, you have malate on the other side. Solubility goes up to 80. So that's an 800 time difference between a chelated form of calcium and calcium carbonate. So that's my recommendation, is to get a chelated form of calcium. And then the other thing, too, that I think is super important, which I think the data bears out, is that there are other minerals and vitamins that are needed to keep calcium in solution. So we're talking about magnesium. We're talking about vitamin K. So I believe that you need to have that your calcium to magnesium ratio is super important. I recommend if you're taking 250 of calcium, you need at least 150 milligrams of magnesium to offset it. And for vitamin K, if somebody has bone disease, the data shows that 45 milligrams of MK4 is the absolute best, and it decreases fracture risk by 60 to 80%. And then if you don't have bone disease, I recommend still at least a milligram of vitamin K. And you don't really need to worry so much about what form.
Great. So you've given us a ton of great information about supplementation, which people always ask questions about. And we talked about the RDA. So, you know, I guess the next thing which I really want people to look into is something called mycalciumcheckup.com. So if you go online and you just type in mycalciumcheckup.com, this is an online tool that Dr. Millman developed where you can put in some data and you'll figure out exactly what your calcium need is. I've never heard of anything like this. So go to mycalciumcheckup.com and use this online tool. But in you know, a minute or two, as we start to kind of wrap up here, just tell us about the tool you have and how it works.
Well, I think one of the other really important things is that people go to their doctor's office and they say, you know, I want you to take 1,000 milligrams of calcium a day. But people don't realize that that includes what you get in your food. So the first thing that calcium checkup does is goes through your dietary history, and you put in a 7-day dietary history, tells you how much calcium you're getting from your food. So now, and then calcium checkup does a needs-based calcium goal, just like I talked about, and then it's going to tell you how much your calcium-based goal is, how much you're getting from food, how much is left over. I even predict the effect of your calcium economy on your bone. So are you getting enough? Are you not getting enough? And what percentage of your bones could be breaking down by actually not getting enough, or how much you're actually building by, and I put you in a safe zone and a danger zone. And then later on, you'll get some other emails where I send you my calcium buyer's guide, where we talk about solubility and chelated forms of calcium. And then I've got a little tool that tells you how you should split your calcium up during the day. Because if you take 1,000 milligrams of calcium by itself, you've just thrown away almost 500 milligrams of calcium because your body will never absorb it. Really, at 250 milligrams to 300 milligrams at a time is a sweet spot for calcium. You go over that and you're pooping your calcium out. I don't think any supplement company should ever put 1,000 milligrams of calcium in one tablet. They get an Excel spreadsheet about their top calcium-rich foods, And then there's a little tool that helps you figure out how you can change your diet to close what I call your dietary calcium gap. And so then that gives you a new dietary plan so that you can get your calcium from food first and minimize the amount of supplements that you need to take. So this is, you know, it's really a complete calcium package. You know, you get the info on how much you need, what's the right amount of calcium for you, what's the right form, when to take it, and how to get it from foods first.
Great. So just to repeat for everyone, so that's mycalciumcheckup.com. It's an online tool where you can figure out exactly how much calcium you need. I'm going to check that out and, you know, obviously recommend it to all the patients at our practice, as well as I'm going to go take a look at my multivitamin right now to see exactly how much calcium is in there and what type of calcium it is. So, Dr. Kim Millman, this has been great having you on the show today. I want to thank you, and I want to let everyone know where you are. So to visit Dr. Kim Millman, you're going to go to online, millmanclinic.com. So that's millmanclinic.com, as well as
it's
my calcium.
The Millman.
Millman.com. So that's themillmanclinic.com, as well as mycalciumcheckup.com for that free online tool. And I want to thank you for being with us today. This is Joe Tata, Health and Wellness, and we'll see you on the next broadcast. Okay, that's a wrap.
Guess what? We didn't do everyone who needs to use it, and we didn't do stress.
Well, I skipped stress okay. specifically because as I'm looking at this conversation, I thought you did a really fantastic job about the RDA supplements and the quiz.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to go down the stress road because, first of all, that could be a whole other topic in and of itself.
It could be.
And I just thought that you did such a good job. I thought you did such a good job with that. About stress?
Yeah, I only had a few things to say about it.
But yeah, that's
know,
okay. But I thought
okay,
you did a great
well,
job at tying in the, you know, foods, the RDA, the calcium supplements, and then your tool. I think it's perfect. I think it's really fantastic.
Oh, good. Thank you.
I'm just looking at this, you know, as I'm
awesome.
Yeah, as you're talking, I'm thinking about, you know, what kind of a blog post I want to do.
Yeah.
I know you're going to put something together, something, you know, simple, not too long. But in the blog post, I'd like to put, like, you know, do you know how much calcium you need? Is the RDA really correct? Do you need calcium citrate? Do you need calcium, you know, I want to put some of that in the blog, and then we can lead people to take this test and listen to this podcast to learn more.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we'll give people a couple of lead-in like questions, like, you know, are you getting enough calcium? Is the RDA right for you? Are you putting yourself at risk for heart disease by taking too much calcium? What kind of calcium do you need in the supplement? And then we can lead people right into that mycalciumcheckup.com as well as that, the, you know, the blog post and, you know, everything else you have.
Okay.
But it was good. And the timing is perfect. I mean, I aim for like a half hour. I just personally think that anything more than that, you have to have a really kind of academic audience. But I think what you did for the general public is fantastic.
Good. Well, you used to kind of slant it more towards food sensitivities and show a person like actually how much they're leaching out of their bones if they're dairy sensitive and you know, I ran my numbers and they're pretty horrific. So I realized that I better start taking some calcium. Once I developed this tool, that's the first thing I said. Oh my gosh, I am not taking enough calcium at all.
I mean, I would love to do a you know, talk one day with you on, you know, gut and calcium, because obviously, you know, your gut modulates a lot of that, and I'd love to talk about that. That's a great topic, better than stress, actually.
Gut and calcium.
Yeah, I think that's great. Maybe we can plan that maybe next quarter or something.
Well, you know, the one that I really want to do, which I'm going to push out pretty soon, but I have to have a tool for it, and I don't have my tool ready for it. Listen to this. This is going to, you're going to crap your pants. So it's about magnesium and vitamin D resistance. So I don't know why no one's talking about this study. It was done in 2013. I think the reason why they're not talking about it is it's statistically complicated because it's an interaction study. So what they did was, first of all, they had these people who were vitamin D sufficient or insufficient. And
hey, Kim,
who were,
let's get off this line. Call me on my cell.
Oh, shoot. Okay, yeah. All right. I'll call you on your cell.
Okay,
bye.
All right. Thanks, Tommy. Bye.